This is Talk Is Cheap, Rants from the Road. I'm your host, DJ Susti. I've studied sustainable design for about 35 years, and so of course I'm driving a big rig truck 14 hours a day, less than 500 miles for sustainable practices, because for various reasons, mainly there's no funding for sustainability still. So yeah, I ended up driving truck. So I'm hoping to give you, I end up working 14 hour days and listening to the news all day, mostly NPR. Occasionally I'll tune in to Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and hear what loony stuff they're saying. And, ooh, that was a bump. And of course, in the middle of the night, I'll catch George Norrie, who used to be Art Bell, Coast to Coast, mainly for the economic stuff that he does, not really into the alien abduction stuff. So, yeah, I'm hoping to give you a little bit of a different perspective, analysis on the news that I think you'll enjoy. I also have an archive of lectures that I've recorded that I'll excerpt. I'm going to try and keep it at a half an hour, and then I'll lay down a track for you at the end of a bootleg, hopefully pertinent to what I've been talking about, and you can choose whether you want to play that or fade it out. Yeah, I'm hoping you're not going to play music under me, but whatever you want to do. So, and I want to thank... I also listen to I download a lot of stuff from A Infos, all the political stuff from A Infos, unwelcome guests, mainly, especially Global Research News Hour and New World Notes. Also, Angry Indian, this guy, I don't know what, this guy has read a lot of books. He must have some kind of background in political science. So I'm going to try and do something similar to what he does, but for only a half hour and not as quite as tangential, and I can't come close to the knowledge that guy has. But if it's sustainable, you'll probably hear about it here. What else? Yeah, so I'm doing this while I'm driving to pass the time. Hands-free device. What else? So yeah, I hope you'll tune in. It's going to get better. I'll put some contact information on there and possibly start a blog to coincide with it. I just found out that I can upload this stuff. I refuse to pay for internet, so I just found out that I can upload this stuff at the Springfield Library in Oregon, so I just want to thank them. And I also, the reason this talk is cheap is at the end I will try to give you things that you can do, usually positives, maybe borderline. If poverty is not violence, then I guess minor vandalism is not violence. So I'll try to give you something to do, usually positive, that you can do, because let's face it, I can't do much from a truck myself, but there's still stuff that you can do to stop militarism and corporatism and state-sponsored corporatism. And I try to bring you stuff from a being in Springfield, Oregon, there's a lot of anarchists, so I try to bring you kind of a Proudhonian, what I call a Proudhonian anarchist perspective. So thanks for listening. Give me a break, I'll be right back. Thank you. Hey, this is Talk Is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ Sustead. Driving truck right now. I do the show on the straightaway, on the straightaways on I-5. Hands-free device at all times. And just to let you know, the little window into the world of truck driving, what I just did just now is, this truck has a governor on it, so I can only go 61.5 miles an hour. So what happens is you get behind a guy going 61 miles an hour, and he's got his governor is at 61 miles an hour, and yours is at 61.5, and you want to go that extra 5.5 miles an hour. So when no one's on there'll be no one in the left lane, so you'll try to pass him at 61.5 miles an hour, and of course, then there'll be a lineup behind you. So I apologize to all you drivers out there, but I recommend, please stay away from trucks at all costs. Don't sit near trucks. Okay, so what's been lacking in the news lately, and oh, by the way, I end up talking to truck drivers at the truck stops, and my fellow co-drivers for the same company, and most of these guys are just poor working stiffs that they're victims of propaganda too. Then there's a few that just like a lot of people nowadays, there are a few that definitely need are a case for forced sterilization, but most of them you can reason with. And so I dialogue them whenever I can, and the area that I can usually reach them is militarism and corporatism. There is no reason. Most people agree that corporations have gone completely out of control, and so has the military-industrial complex. So that's why the show is also subtitled "How to Talk to a Conservative," because most of them will admit, unless they're a complete fascist, will admit that we spend too much money on weapons. So, and recently Cornel West said the same thing when he almost got bludgeoned to death demonstrating at a demonstration, and the anarchists saved him. He said that the problem we need to concentrate is on militarism and corporatism. So, this is what NPR doesn't seem to get at all, and because they have corporate backing, let's face it, the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation was a defense contractor. It's General Motors, and General Dynamics is Alfred P. Sloan. Used to own Opel during World War II. And supplied, literally supplied weapons to the Nazis before the World War II. And NPR also uses think tanks like Council on Foreign Relations and what do you think the American Enterprise Institute could be? They're a think tank for corporations, both of them. Council on Foreign Relations is basically the Trilateral Commission. So, I still have no idea why NPR uses them. So, this Russia thing is, all these have been taken out of context. The context that I'm talking about is, most recessions are caused by war. After every war, there's a recession. And this is what happened at the end of World War I. The Nazis came to power because the Germans were forced to pay for World War I, and they made the middle class, they decimated the German middle class by making them pay for World War II, which is exactly what they've done now. So this is why you're seeing things like Russia and China, you're seeing us be aggressive at them, and Brexit, and austerity in Greece, because what they're doing is these countries understand this better than we do. That's why I think that's why Obama won the Nobel Peace Prize for overthrowing the fascist President Bush because Warhawk, because the Iraq War ruined the economy, and we're paying for it now, and they're trying to get the world through NATO to pay for this totally unnecessary war, and this is how they extract and loot the treasuries of our country and their country. And so they're wise to this in the rest of the world. And although I'm not hearing, this is just it, I'm not hearing anybody specifically say this, that that's why Brexit is happening and that's why we're having problems with China and Russia, is because they're trying to go off the petrodollar. The petrodollar and, let's face it, the even the Rockefellers have diversified out of oil. There's no reason to be in oil, there's no reason to use oil, then there's no reason to run your country solely on oil. Its energy should be free. Even in a capitalist society, energy, it should be free. It's everywhere. There's no reason to be tied to oil and sell. And we're the biggest weapons sellers in the world. So none of this, I'm not hearing any of this on NPR. Especially in that perspective, that Brexit and the reason we're mad, the real reason we are mad at Russia, and yes, Putin is a kind of a despot, but we put him in power at the after Perestroika and Glasnost. We left the Russian mafia in power, and of course a fascist dictator came to power because we ruined their economy with the petrodollar by manipulating the price of oil back and forth until it ruined the Russian economy and it ruined the Chinese economy. Libya also and Iraq all went off the petrodollar, were either threatening to or were going off the petrodollar, and that is the real reason why you're seeing problems. And North Korea is another example too, why China could easily stop North Korea, but they don't want us on their border. These are the Ukraine and Korea are what used to be called buffer states, and especially the way we've been the aggressors in the world, they don't want us on their borders. And I really can't blame them, even though both of these countries, Russia and China, all of them, and North Korea have human rights violations, but yet China has most favored nation status. So if you really wanted to stop China, you don't need to put missiles on their border. You need to stop trading with them until they don't, if you don't like their human rights violations. But of course, the human rights violations are mostly caused by, indirectly and directly, by multinational corporations. So we're not gonna stop them from stop the human rights violations, but we're going to put missiles on their borders. And the same with Russia. We've destabilized their economy. They're not going to put up with it. And so they put in a fascist, supportive fascist to at least try to defend, try not to be completely raped by multinational corporations. Doesn't really work. It's not really a good way to do it, but I can understand why they're doing that. So you're not hearing any of this on the news. And in my sustainability studies, that's what research has shown. You might want to, if you want a primer on this, I would suggest and I get a lot of, I also listen to KBOO up here. Pacifica is another great, although they have corporate matching funds, Pacifica is one of the best things going. There's a book called, sorry, I'm driving. Economic Hitman, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, if you want a primer on what how we've used the CIA basically is just supporting corporate plundering the same way, and they use the same method they've done with Native Americans. They go in and instead of dealing with the tribal elders and the true rulers of the country, they set up tribal councils, and which is a small group that they then extract, then make bargains for and use them as spokesmen that are really not spokesmen for the community, and extract resources from them instead of doing like we do in Norway. Everyone in Norway gets money from the sale of North Sea oil, the same as Alaska. Residents of Alaska get a percentage of North Sea oil. So, Orwell said, and many people miss this about Orwell, and to me this is the main point of 1984, is the war is waged, is not between Eurasia and East Asia. The war is waged by the ruling group against its own subjects. What that means is they use war to extract money from the economy. This is what I'm trying to tell environmentalists too, is what they do is they go to war, we have a recession, now we need jobs, so that gives them a reason to cut down forests and put in pipelines and trash the environment, because all in the name of jobs. And the reason we need jobs is because they sent the economy into a recession with war, because you have no use for tanks and bombs except to blow them up and in wartime. I'd like to see them if they want to blow stuff up, just send stuff, let's have a space program, we might actually learn something from it. If you want to blow stuff up, send it out into outer space. The one thing I wanted to mention too about Korea, North Korea, what I've not heard anyone mention, I have heard Chris Hedges and them have said that North Korea, that George Bush screwed that up, that he was supposed to take care of when they broke the missile, when they started doing nuclear weapons back then, he had an opportunity to do something at that point. But see, George W. Bush Jr. Canceled the anti-ballistic missile treaty, and this is what I've not heard anybody mention. There's an anti-ballistic missile treaty that we need to return to that. And let's face it, with North Korea, we're the only ones, we decimated North Korea. I've heard the mainstream news has been saying that that has gotten through. And let's face it, we are the only country that has ever dropped the atomic bomb. So they don't know what's going on over there. So let's see. So again, this is the common ground that we can find with this is how to talk to a conservative, and this is what I can usually reach truck drivers on this. I had one actually sit there, and he finally admitted that he thinks we should just go back to a war economy, and that's how we should all get jobs. And as he said it, he realized what he is saying, and the other truck drivers in the room too understood what he was saying. That so you're just going to make money off of killing people, and because that's the only way you're going to keep making weapons. So that's not going to work. So, also, the more people are... a lot of the... I'm just going to say it's stuff that's going on. I don't want to get into detail on it until I see what's going to happen. But the stuff that's in the news lately, most of it is caused by people being a cog in a machine. Because when you work for corporations, you tend to end up being just a cog in a machine. And this is what Howard Beale was saying of the movie Network, is when your life doesn't have value, you start becoming violent and you become a bully, and that's why you become insecure. And there's a saying, I'm trying to find out who said this, I think it's R.D. Lang, that if we can't create, we tend to destroy. So our society has never made people feel valuable, but it's especially gone the wrong direction in making people feel that their life has value lately. So that's why you're seeing a lot of violence and a lot of bullying going on. All right, so when I come back, I'm going to take a little break here. When I come back, I'm going to tell you what you can do, even if you're a truck driver stuck driving a truck 14 hours a day. There is still stuff that you can do to stop militarism and corporatism. Talk is cheap. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Stay away from trucks. Show's Talk is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ Susti. Driving truck, heading into Eugene right now. Milepost 216. And please, at all times, use your own brain. Some of this is this is commentary. So you use your own brain. At all times, and please, no wagering. So these are some things that you can do. Just to give you a little of my background, when I wasn't driving truck and I could do this, I'm one of those that went to Nevada test site in the 90s. I've met several people who have done that, and it was a mock arrest, and they would take you to Mercury, Nevada, and they would let you off in Mercury, and we stopped them from, they were doing above ground nuclear testing, and when there was a moratorium on above ground, Russia had a moratorium on above ground nuclear testing, so they were not doing above ground. Think about this, you're doing it above ground, so the fallout is out in the middle of the Nevada desert still to this day, And you can see, you know from satellites, even back then in the 90s, that you can tell when they've launched, when they have set off a nuclear device, okay? It's not something you can hide. So we knew, you know, you could tell when Russia, if Russia was doing it. So Bill Clinton, to his credit, although he's got a lot of problems that I'll talk about in the future, he sold more weapons than just about anybody. But we had the peace dividend, at least, during Clinton. So, yeah, you could... he actually signed and stopped... We've still stopped doing above-ground nuclear testing to this day. Another thing I did was... Alan Cranston was a congressman, senator in California that... they had found out his constituency were against the Iran-Contras, against funding the Contras, and he kept voting against his constituency in favor of funding the Contras, even though his electorate, his constituency, were against it. So a group broke into his office in Los Angeles and called him from his own office. And I didn't break in, but I was there when that happened, and along with Jackson Brown. I met Jackson Brown that day. Actually, I was walking down the hall, and here comes Jackson Brown the other way, and I tripped, and Jackson Brown picked me up off the hallway floor during the Iran-Contra. So these are things you can do. I would like to see, I will get off my truck if somebody will go down to Wells Fargo, especially, and demonstrate in front of Wells Fargo and stop people from going in and out of Wells Fargo. They are the worst. During the financial crisis, they wouldn't loan money because they're over here loaning money to defense contractors for defense contracts. They're the number one bank to loan out defense contracts, because they're guaranteed the money. There's no risk for them. So your tax dollars have subsidized Wells Fargo. And there, if you watch the movie, is it Too Big to Fail or The Big Short? One of those movies, there was a special where the Treasury Secretary, whose name escapes me at the moment, Wells Fargo is the one bank that wasn't going to go for the deal, for the quantitative easing deal, where they gave them a bunch of money that they have since paid back. But when they bailed out the banks, Wells Fargo was the bank that didn't want to take the money. They were just going to go on business as usual. Also support Pacifica where however you can. I used to volunteer for them. I haven't given them any money, but... even though they have corporate matching funds, they have the right idea. I don't support NPR, though, although I listen to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And if you're not in a credit union, there's something pretty easily you can do. They're guaranteed. Find one that's guaranteed by insured by the NCUA, National Credit Union Association. Same as a bank, up to $250,000. Get out of major banks. There's no reason to be with them. A lot of these credit unions, it's difficult to find, but they issue credit cards that actually support the community that you're in. Someday I'll do a show on that. Of course, shop at local farmers markets. What else? Pay attention to what you're buying. I noticed Treetop Apple Juice is still, even though they're probably a huge corporation, their apples, I don't know, I'm pretty sure their apples all come from Washington, but they are all a co-op, which is not communism, by the way, or socialism. A co-op is a grower-owned, the growers own the business, so the money isn't siphoned off by a corporation. Anyway, you can get out of the dollar. That's why the Bitcoin is taking off so much. I wish I'd have gotten into Bitcoin. I don't recommend unless you be sure you understand what you're doing at all times. Please use your own brain. Don't just invest all your money in Bitcoin, but these are things, these alternative currencies, any way you can get out of using the dollar, barter with people, any way you can get out of using the dollar is a good thing. And we want to I'm not advocating the overthrow of the United States government, but you gotta take the long game with these guys, because they will push the button. They have bunkers that they will go into, and they do have their finger on the button. So it's best to take the long game and just slowly stop using corporations and funding war. And if you can get out of paying taxes too, luckily as a truck driver I can write off per diem stuff, so I still have paid a lot of taxes over the years. So let's see, the other thing, squatting, find a house to squat. I've done a little bit of squatting myself. I was in Nevada. I was living out of my sister's during this financial crisis before I got training. Unemployment trained me for the truck driving. And I went to the sheriff. There were these rundown houses all around her, or my sister's house. And I went and asked the sheriff. I said, you know, hey, what would you do if I squatted a house? And he said, as long as there's no illegal activity going on there, there isn't much he can do. So you might want to go ask your local sheriff about squatting a house. And don't go in there and make it a viper room or a crack house, you know, and disturb the neighborhood. But let people know what you're doing. Go down to your city council. Also here in Eugene, we had a zombie house. And I wrote them and said, look, you know, we're not in the business of subsidizing banks by, we're not here to, the bank owned this property and was just letting it go into disrepair. And the cities and counties were not in existence to subsidize the bank. And this is using their own, I try to use their own rules against them. You know, they're against socialism. Well, we're sitting here subsidizing the bank by letting them just let a house go into disrepair instead of selling it. And it might make the comps in the area go down for temporarily, but eventually it's going to bring up the neighborhood. So anything you can do like that. And let's face it, squatting is manifest destiny. That's their rules. Manifest destiny. You're not using it. I got a viable use for it. You lose it, just like you did to the Native Americans with Manifest Destiny. That's what squatting, that's the justification for squatting. So that's another powerful thing you can do. I'm looking at stuff to do since I'm on a truck and I can sleep on my truck. I might be able to get away with some squatting and rent out my house here in Springfield. Walmart too, they're down the street. I never set foot in a Walmart except when I was, because of truck driving, I have to park the truck and it's the only place I can buy groceries. But what you do is you go in there and buy the lost leaders. And I'm looking for a website that'll tell what lost leaders are. Usually milk is a lost leader. Go in there and buy stuff. They don't even have stuff on sale at Walmart, but when it is, that's the stuff you go and buy. The very few things that are on sale at Walmart, buy them. If you have to go to Walmart, at least buy them there. Or, like I say, Treetop apple juice, buy the stuff they do have some stuff there that is sustainably produced. So let's see, what else? I've also supported with mixed results. You don't want to just support somebody, some flake, but if you know somebody that is out of the system and is trying to stay out of the system, you might want to give them a little support if you're stuck in a dead-end job, in indentured servitude, like I am, for the corporate overlords. If you have a little extra money, you might want to make a microloans to people, crowdfunding, and try to help someone that is trying to stay out of the system, as long as they're not going to bring you down with them. And what I do at this Walmart is it's literally four blocks from my house, so it's kind of convenient. But I try to still go to union stores if I can. But what I do is I make sure and take my trash, anything I don't recycle, because I don't pay for trash pickup, so anything I don't recycle, I take to Walmart and dump my trash there. And I'm trying to start a campaign of what I'd really like to see is crap in a plastic bag. I call it wall crapping. Crap in a plastic bag and leave it on the parking lot of Walmart. They crap on society, so it's time that society craps on them. And you know, they'll have to hire somebody. Crap is hazmat, so they'll have to hire a special crew to come out and scrape that up. So you're not affecting the employees there when you crap in a plastic bag and leave it at Walmart. All right, so that's Talk is Cheap. I'll keep it short for you. I hope you listen again, and I'll try to shake it up, and I'll leave you with a bootleg here. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends.
You have 3 hours and 23 minutes of remaining drive time.